The big cables that we pulled through that bridge, massive cables, something like 4 inches in diameter. They stretched right across the bridge, up through the center of the bridge. We pulled them by hand and by machine when we can get machines on it or come alongs. So they were put in there and they were stressed up. And then to check out areas that were already finished, like joins and that, we had to get into these incredible cramped spaces. I can remember myself doing some of that work, and you'd be crawling up underneath the whole concrete decking, and you'd only have about 2 inches above your body, and you hardly take a deep breath because you'd feel yourself cramping in those areas, and you'd have to inspect all these joins and make sure there were no cracks, and if there were anything that looked a bit fishy, we used to grout it up.
The order of accuracy of construction was probably down to a quarter of an inch. May have even been tighter. Today it would be possible to get down to an eighth of an inch between adjacent surfaces. I don't think you need to get any lower than that. There hasn't been much change since Gladesville days in the compaction of concrete. There has been an increase in the strength. The 6,000 pound per square inch compressive strength was record-breaking for the DMR. But now we're talking about 10,000 pound per square inch, or the metric equivalent. And of course, as your strength increases, your allowable stresses increase, and once again that horrible thing called creep enters into the bargain.
Must be a bridge builder's nightmare creep, is it?
It's not a good thing to have around.
Well, what can you do to minimise creep?
Two things. First of all, we use high-strength concrete, which has got a smaller amount of creep. And we use high tensile steel, which has got a smaller amount of creep. And that's the way you get over it.
When you start to see it come into place, you become amazed at the intricate precision of the building itself, of the bridge. We came from both sides of the river, and when we met in the middle, we were only just centimetres out. And it was an incredible feat, you know, of engineering.
I remember standing at Huntley's Point, looking at the ribs, and an old chappy telling me that it looked a bit steep for his car. He only had a 1928 Chev. And no one realised that the arch was going to have a deck on top of it.
The bridge was nearing the latter stages of construction as the piers and deck were added to the now completed arch.
The pier designs were precast columns with headstocks linking the tops of the columns, and the system was joined together by high tensile bars that were stressed. We were very familiar with pre-stressed concrete techniques by then. And the deck itself comprised beams of 100 feet length to span between the piers, and they were post-tensioned. They were a T-section.
When we started to see it finished, because I had the privilege then, when all the blocks were in place and all the stuff inside was tightened up, the cables and that, I had the privilege then of standing those side rails and the light posts. I always tell my kids, old Pop stood them lamp posts up there when he was a young fella. I drove this old crane that had three wheels, two in the front and one at the back. And I used to stand those rails and those posts over there, coming over the bridge, because you could see it coming together, and that was the exciting part about it. Of course, I upset the roadman there a few times when they just had the bitumen down, and I decided I'd drive across it with the old crane, and they started cooing at me, but we were the bosses. We were the fellas that built the bridge. They could do that again. But I tell you, it was a wonderful experience for me, because I got a lot of experience and a lot of qualifications that I would have never got.
Particular significance was in the design of the outer railing. There was some concern that Gladesville would become a place for people who wanted to commit suicide to go to. And in fact, it went as high as our commissioner, Jack Shaw, who took a personal interest in getting a railing that was very difficult to climb over. And he engaged some architects to assist him in that. And what they came up with has been very effective. It's a taller railing. It's about 7 or 8 foot high, and it has quite a big tube on the top of it, which is oval shape, and it's very difficult. You can't really get your hand around it to get a grip on it to climb. And the other advantage, which a number of people have spoken to me about, but the fact that you've got a horizontal, this horizontal tube is high enough, when you drive over in a car, the vertical elements of the rail, the vertical members, it virtually becomes invisible. And you drive, particularly as you're coming down, you're coming into the city, you can see the harbour bridge and down the harbour and as though there's nothing there at all. And I think that's a very good result.
How were industrial relations on the Gladesville Bridge project?
There were two unions. It was the AWU and the Builders Labourers. Of course, the Builders Labourers in those days was a very militant union, but there were not many of those. And then the Carpenters Union. And there was a lot of trouble in wet weather. The AWU allowed you, I think, about 2 days or something, a month or whatever it was for wet weather. But the other union, they had like a week or something like that. So you'd be out toiling in the rain and all the others would be sitting in the shed with nice and cosy. They did have a bit of trouble with a couple of agitators there at one time, but they sacked them. They were really just stirrers. They called a strike a couple of times, and finally they just sacked both of them, and they were very disappointed, but they got rid of them.
When it'd rain, there'd be trouble, because we got a policy, hadn't a policy in the BWIU that was no work in the rain, and it was a dangerous job. Just don't work in the rain. And what we did, we were the first ones, I think, to invent the cigarette paper test. Somebody pull out a cigarette paper, and it was agreed, after a lot of argument and everything, if it was too wet to roll a cigarette, it was too wet to work. When it eased up a bit, the rep would go out and pull a cigarette paper out, and if it didn't get wet, we'd go back to work.
The unions made sure that there were good conditions on the job. You know, you got proper wet weather gear and made sure that you're working in dust a lot. You'd make sure that you had proper apparatus for breathing and things like that. But I was reluctant union man, let's put it that way.